I'm Frank Vaughn. It is January 27th, 2026, and we're getting into a slicked back style for a while. The hair is getting to an annoying length. I wasn't even going to make a video today. I was just going to spend the day in the office trying to clean up my desktop and catch up on reading and things I need to do. But I just had to respond to the Chinese takeover of another Canadian company. I also want to talk about the Ford-Carney meeting, but we're going to do this first. China's Zijin Gold to acquire Canadian miner Allied Gold for $5.5 billion in cash. Here's the headline from the Globe and Mail. You can read about it elsewhere. Globe and Mail wants money so that I can read their subsidized digital newspaper, which I'm already paying for via taxation, and it's just never going to happen. And my commentary is, that is the headline. They are trading fiat in a reset period because fiat, it's either, we're either in a fiat collapse or we're in a period where the fiat money system is going to expand so much that you will not even recognize the prices of things. You're already there. When a box of Co-op branded burgers costs $75, when a bag of jerky costs $27, and when a cucumber costs $3, I shouldn't even need to belabor the point. They are trading fiat, which is being devalued in a reset period, for real gold, gold in the ground. We must stop this communist takeover at all costs. China owns Canada. Now, look, I could scroll down and I could talk about the repeated takes, but I'm just going to, where is it? Right here. So Agrarian Girl at least doesn't swear at me because I got called retarded. I got called an effing idiot. I mean, every kind of name in the book, because the principal holdings of gold that are produced by this company is based in Africa. And so my response to that talking point, which I'm encountering, bots and real people, they're all repeating the same thing. The NPCs, they always get stuck on a talking point. I said, so what? This talking point is meaningless. It's a Canadian company which controls gold. Something very critical as we move into a reset. Now China will own it, and we already ship 70% of our own production that comes out of Canadian soil to China. Canada is out one more strategic company. We're out a strategic company. Now I admit the gold is in Africa, but that's not the main problem. This was a Canadian-controlled company, one of the few that is exploiting resources somewhere else to make money. Every single country in the world does it. And we've lost them. So the profit will not be here. $5.5 billion, they'll probably take that capital and leave the country just like every other person that has any capital, because Canada is becoming a dangerous jurisdiction to anybody with half a semblance of brain power. Nobody wants to invest. That's why we're having capital flight. Very real thing, folks. It's not some kind of conspiracy theory. We're out one more company. And that company, by the way, so there's a whole other layer to this that almost requires its own video, but I'm going to try and summarize it. We have things like Global Affairs Canada. We're going to use that as our umbrella to talk about foreign aid, Global Affairs Canada, all the giveaways we throw at countries on the other side of the planet. And what does that money do? I mean, the easy thing is to look at it and say, well, it's a money laundering racket. In a way, it kind of is. It's all done legally. That's why the law isn't exactly powerful or sacrosanct in this country. It can be used to do very devilish things. But we use your tax dollars, which we spend, and I say we, I'm talking about the government. We're forced to pay for it, so I might as well take some ownership. Taking ownership is probably why I get so frustrated with it. We take money we don't even have, money borrowed against your children, money borrowed in your name. We spend deficits every single year. We take that money and we ship it, a good portion of it, we ship overseas. And what do we do with the money once it's there? You could say it's all laundering. It's not just that. We create the conditions that are favorable to private businesses. We get inroads so that our economy, theoretically anyway, can expand in other nations. We make favorable conditions for so-called Canadian businesses. The real issue is that my argument is the majority of the money we spend overseas does not benefit private Canadian business. It benefits businesses from other nationalities who may have operations in Canada and may not have operations in Canada. Your tax dollars being used to subsidize the business conditions of private industry. So, without getting into the particulars of it, a Canadian company that sells to the Chinese is problematic on its own. but you could make an examination of how public dollars were used to assist and to create the conditions that these businesses could set up shop in Africa anyway, only for them to be seized and bought up by the Chinese. Big cash out for a certain amount of people and a big loss for Canada. And that's the real issue. So I don't understand the talking point that it doesn't matter where the gold is located. This is just another Canadian business being lost to CCP China. And it's part of the ongoing story of the gutting of Canada. It's not a partisan thing. Yep, Stephen Harper brought in the Foreign Investment Protection Act, which largely benefited China right here in our shores. Yes, there's police stations operating in Canada. Yes, we've done joint training exercises. Yes, Chinese criminal cartels operate here in Canada. The theme is unchanged as to how this country is being treated. This is an interesting one, and it's related. Doug Ford says, after productive conversation about how we're building a stronger, more competitive Canadian economy, Prime Minister Mark J. Carney and I had the chance to grab a slice of pizza and meet with some local community members here in Etobicoke. Now, I'll give them credit for two things. First off, they found a Canadian chain, one of the few that still exists, so it's a good photo op that way, and they didn't bother to sweep the floor or vacuum anything. The floor is filthy. So they look like average everyman, having their average everyman pizza. And you know, the thing that I always notice about these pictures, this is staged, there's nothing organic. Here they are. There's no pizza. So I'm assuming they're meeting here for the first time and they're about to order the pizza. So the whole thing's contrived. And I noted in the, you see this guy's face, he's looking a bit skeptical in this picture. But Ford folded. Ford had come out, and he said he was against the whole EV deal with China. He has one sit-down. Mark Carney, I'm assuming, bought the pizza because he's holding the receipt and he's holding both boxes. So he's basically saying, if you want to eat, Doug, you're going to listen to me. That's what I see in the message. There's a lot going on here. But Ford folds. He says that the federal government has a real strong plan for automotive, but they don't. The Canadian auto industry is gutted and destroyed, and despite tens of billions of dollars being handed out to giants like GM, the Canadian auto worker has been destroyed largely because of the conditions the government created. And now they're going to try and make the argument that 49,000 Chinese EVs coming into our market every single year is somehow good for our electric vehicle industry. That ain't the case. So Doug Ford, another way to look at this, is Doug Ford went off script. And this was a meeting to marry the messages back together. Because so often when there's collaboration in politics, because that's another thing. Doug's never done this with Pierre Poilievre. He has done everything in his power to oppose the federal conservatives. This is why I actually think, I tend to believe, because everybody thinks the Conservative Party in its current form is controlled opposition, and maybe that's true, but I don't think it needs to be controlled right now. I think there's a culture in the CPC that controls it enough. The milquetoast messaging, the inability to actually confront tough things and create a new understanding in the Canadian public, using your platform to convince people why your point of view has merit and why your path is the right one and showing how clearly divergent it is, there's a lot of similarity between our federal parties. At any rate, you can bet your bottom dollar that Doug Ford is not a conservative. Nothing conservative at all. He's spending Ontario into the ground. The curriculum, the radical sex ed curriculum that he was supposed to defeat and destroy in 2018 when he got elected, got that support from, what was her name, Tanya, can't remember her name. She ran, that's a shame, I really should remember her name. She ran against Doug Ford and then she joined forces with him and then she was betrayed, which is no surprise. Anybody that helped him in that election was betrayed if they had genuine conservative values. There's just no choice in Ontario. It doesn't matter who you vote for. It really doesn't. And you have two other alternative parties on the right, True North and New Blue. But that's kind of symbolic of the problem, too. You don't need two new upstart conservative parties dividing attention. That part of the conservative wing in Ontario can't get their gear together enough to collaborate and cooperate to create one alternative. We have to have two that are locked below 100,000 votes apiece. Anyway, Ontario's in a bad state. This meeting brings them back on point and on message. And I don't know for what. This just might be the attempt to derail. On the surface, it certainly looks that way. My thesis when Carney was parachuted into this country was that he was here to use Canada as a sacrificial lamb to undermine the Trump administration, which, whether you like them or not, whether you view them as just another group of elitists or not, or you view them as a God-sent hero, quite the range of options, I think it's very clear that the Trump administration represents a group of U.S. interests that want to move away from Davos, want to move away from Europe, and want to recognize a multipolar world with multiple regional hegemons. And so my original thesis was Carney was sent in here, made leader of the Liberal Party in one of the fakest processes I've ever seen in political history. It's even more fake than the see-through envelopes that remove Stockwell Day from politics or from leadership, at any rate. He gets parachuted in here, and I thought, he's going to use Canada. Everything about Canada is going to sell us out, and he's going to work to undermine these interests in the United States, which are trying to break away from the old global order. At the surface level, that's the obvious thing, but what if, as I've proposed in several videos, what if there's a high degree of coordination that's actually leading towards, for various reasons, and you can say there could be good reasons, there could be bad reasons, but leading towards a more integrated North American Union. The vast majority of the Canadian population would never support it and would not support the Trump administration. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump himself invented a cure for cancer and rolled it out to the public, they'd still find a reason to hate it. They'd come out and they'd say, look at all the poor doctors that are going to be put out of work. Anyway, if that's the case, if there is a high degree of coordination, one way or the other, you can kind of tell at this point which premiers are completely on board and getting their marching orders from Carney himself. Like I've said before, it's a mistake to think that Carney's stupid. He is enacting a plan. And I don't know what that plan is. I can see the individual moves, but the problem is I can interpret everything he's doing two different ways because of the psychology of Canadian politics. This is how two very different outcomes would evolve along the same path and plan that he is implementing. Two different ways. And maybe I'm foolish. Let me know in the comments. Talk to me about it. Talk to me about this thesis. Tell me about your thoughts. It seems that there's an even split. People see the merit and get entrenched in their camp on both sides. And then some people are like me. They're in the middle and they can't be sure. But there's a high degree of coordination. And Mark Carney's at the head of it. He's not concerned with his parliamentarians. He's not concerned with the wants and needs of the Liberal Party and its base. He couldn't give a damn about the platform that they released and agreed to deliver on. He was supposed to deliver a trade deal, folks. He has not done that. He was supposed to deliver 500,000 houses a year. He hasn't done that. He doesn't need to. He never needed to in the first place. But that was what he promised. And he did that gimmick thing in Ottawa where he set up a fake housing project, did his press relief, and then they ripped the whole thing down. And the only thing that's there is a concrete pad. There should be a plaque there, Carney's concrete pad. This is a production. This is theater. This is all progressing according to a plan that comes down from on high that we are not privy to. And I'm not sure what the final outcome is going to be. And I can tell you, regardless of how we might be being played as people, the thing that I fear the most is a continuation of the status quo. As I've said many times, I do not like the system of Canada. I do not like the failure. I do not like how heavily propagandized people have become to cling to our failed institutions, which are delivering less and less every single day, and pretending that they're the best in the world because they've been programmed. It's easy to see the programming. All you got to do is walk into a fast food joint, which I don't do very often. Walk into your mechanics. Walk into any public-facing store, and there's a good chance there's going to be a TV that's going to either have CTV, CBC, or Global News blaring in the background. Your radio, you turn it on, it's the same newscast. At least half of it is the same newscast, coast to coast, with some local fodder mixed in. The control grid is total. It's not some conspiracy theory. It is a fact of life. And I've been unplugged from it for so long. I mean, I'm still unplugged from it. I don't have any of it. I don't listen to the radio. I don't watch TV. I see no advertising ever. So when I go out in public and I interact and I actually hear it, I go into any store or waiting room where I actually have to sit there and wait, and I listen to the audio, I realize. Even the view screens, like I call them view screens, it's just TV, but it has like a scrolling feed of advertising. So you go into a place and they sell advertising. They have a lot of flow. Say a doctor's office, a place where you get eyeglasses, an eye doctor, whatever. And they got screens. And on those screens, they have information about the business, but they also have news tickers, and they also sell ad space on those screens, and they're positioned in the waiting rooms. All of those tickers are the same. It's the same as the radio. It's the same as the TV. It's the same as just about any mainstream media you can consume, which now the federal government directly subsidizes. At any rate, didn't mean to go off on a tangent about that. There's a higher order to this. Doug Ford absolutely flip-flopped. All of a sudden, he supports the federal government. He's going to be good with Chinese EVs. And I recall, well, actually, we'll do this. This is a total segue, but new details show vigorous, pricey process to identify explicit books in Edmonton schools. School division paid $43,000 to hire 11 teachers for a four-week summer project. The project was to identify explicit books in public schools. And CBC, Julia Wong, her principal concern is that it costs $43,000. Have you ever seen the CBC complain about the rising cost of the public sector before? Do you know how much a teacher costs? Do you know how much the teachers' unions cost? Do you know how much waste there is in the education system and we don't have $43,000 to protect the innocence of children? You don't hate CBC enough, I can tell you that. Canada could gain nearly 7% in real GDP by removing internal trade barriers, says IMF. This is code for further centralization of power in the hands of Ottawa. In our Constitution, the provinces have a lot of jurisdiction. They talk about internal trade barriers. And if you could believe that on its face, there might be more merit in the argument, but that's not what it's about. C5, which the Conservatives voted for, is about claiming power for the federal government to override provincial autonomy. And the premiers, many of those premiers, including my premier here in Saskatchewan, who came out and made a statement, said that Carney's a good guy, he's easy to work with. They're marching in lockstep with Ottawa. It sucks. It's the worst. I will talk about it at length in a future video, just like I've talked about it at length in previous videos. But the level of coordination is there, and the idea can go both ways. Again, Canada can be centralized, and federal authority can be made stronger to hand us into a North American Union, or it can be made stronger to destroy and loot Canada in an attempt to undermine the U.S. administration. Now, that's a whole other subject. I don't even think I've gotten into is that part of the budget that was just passed gives the federal government exclusive right to exempt businesses. I might have talked about it before. Exempt businesses from Canadian law and regulation. All of it. Why do you need that kind of power? What's the plan? Is the plan more acquisitions? Is the plan more China's Zijin gold? Buying Canadian miner allied gold? The further gutting? This is an ongoing process. We've been getting gutted for decades. But is this an attempt to do the final acceleration? to actually break Canada, to turn this resource colony into a formalized private colony of stronger nations' business interests. And this is CBC right now, top article. Carney says he told Trump, "I meant what I said in Davos contradicting U.S. account. If we are building towards a spring election so that this man can further consolidate power in his hands, this is exactly what it would look like. Capitalize on the psychologically broken Canadian public that thinks Donald Trump is responsible for everything that's gone wrong in the last 45 to 50 years of this country and sees America as an enemy instead of the great partner they've always been." Prime Minister Mark Carney is dismissing a claim that he walked back the remarks he made in Davos last week during a conversation with the U.S. President Donald Trump on Monday. Carney says one thing and then he says another thing, so you can't really believe a thing that comes out of his mouth. You're left to try and interpret his actions, and I got to admit, he's masterful because his actions are even cloaked in a thick layer of shadow so that you can't infer his intent. This man is not stupid. He's a very, very smart man. And creating tension and keeping the tension fueled between Canada and the United States is politically useful, again, in two different ways. If you're trying to undermine America, you have to keep the Canadian population psychologically locked up. And if you're actually working to coordinate the downfall of Canada and keep the Canadian psychologically broken population locked up and consumed with elbows up and thinking they're saving the place, you do the exact same thing. You have to keep tensions with the United States. The moment of truth is coming. The calm before the storm continues. But when the trade arrangement comes back up for negotiation, we're going to find out. The world will be talking about the United States and Canada. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. And it might just be your bottom dollar. It might be the last dollar. Who knows? Anyway, if you like the work, please consider supporting it via the website. I'll see you in the next one.